UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, Senator.
Ares 31, me neither.
Or 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
Or 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Something. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Emergency 295. Yeah, something just passed over us. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there. Same airplanes.
Howdy dispatch.
Okay.
Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls?
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, Bob, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Hello everyone and welcome to the final show of 2019. We have Beth from New York State coming on the moment, but first, a very big thank you to Donna in becoming our newest patron of the show. It is greatly appreciated, and if you would like to support the show on Patreon, head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the show, Beth.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome. Now, you are a practicing medium, and you had an experience with a family about UFOs.
Yes, I did, and it always remained with me, and I always felt it was a very special story. So when I saw you, when I got connected to your show, it came across, I think, my Twitter or social media or something, and how interesting, you know. And then I saw that you were open to story, you know what I mean? So, I'll just share that with them, you know. And I didn't know how you felt about mediumship. I really didn't go any much further than doing that until, you know, after, because how I had seen it, you know, and everything is just a little different. So I went, this is back when I used to go to homes, and there was a good amount of people in that living room. It was a minimum of 12, maybe 15. And it was a family's home. So I'm sitting there and there's a big front picture window, and there was, you know, people all around circling the room. So I'm doing my thing and I'm talking to the grandparents and whoever else was in spirit for them. And I came to this, adult male, and I looked at him, and as I looked at him, I saw your traditional looking UFO over his head, like if I could say it was outside the window, but over his head, because he was sitting, you know, in the living room inside. So I see this, and I'm like, you know, I'm inside myself going, where's this going? And his grandfather, it was his grandfather or father that I can't recall right now, but they said, tell him they're real. They exist. Everybody started laughing. Now, I was feeling serious about it because I could feel the emotion about it from his, I think it was his grandfather, you know, saying it to him. And I could see he was very serious, but everybody laughed. And it did feel a little bit like at him. But I said, no, he's very serious. Do you think we're the smartest thing in this universe? And everybody went, whoa, you know, and I go, well, I go, he's got a good point there, you know. And then he proceeded to tell me that he has been obsessed with, you know, UFOs and extraterrestrial and the whole thing about that, and intelligence, a higher intelligence being out in the world, and, you know, and that, you know, and he was very serious about it. And they were saying that even as a kid, he was like that. And now he's an adult, and they always thought he'd outgrow it. And he never did. And he goes, no, I feel very passionate about it. And I read about it, and I, you know, always look for things about it. you know, we moved along from that. But it was very clear his grandfather was, you know, telling him the truth, you know, like it's real. And I've always felt, even as a little child, I would look up in the stars and always felt, you know, I know you see me, I know you hear me. And I never really knew who I was talking to, but I can remember being a child feeling that. And sometimes I'm surprised when people say that they never ever did that, but I guess that's par for the course. And so, yeah, always feeling there was something else out there. So it intrigues me. It's always intrigued me. You know what I mean? And I do believe that there is higher intelligence out there. Absolutely. Absolutely. Just the way I received it was more in a kind of a setting where people were wanting to make sure their loved ones were okay. And they were, you know, grieving and missing them. So it was pretty cool that came in and really made everybody look at him, I think, a little bit differently about that, you know, took on a whole different view for the family who thought he was, you know, just being, they didn't, you know, they didn't believe. They did after that.
I think it was confirmation for him as well.
Yeah, confirmation that what he felt, you know, he was very emotional about it, very passionate about it. What the family was, you know, he was the, you know, the butt of the joke. He was not anymore, I'm sure of it, after that, because it did get emotional. And, you know, I think that when we understand consciousness and frequency and vibration and, you know, I mean, we are not all that is it. You know, we can't be the highest on the intelligence, I don't think. You know, I think there's something out there more intelligent than we are and more evolved than we are personally. I think we're trying as a species to get to that place. And I think they're there to help us.
I think you're right, Beth.
You know, I went through an experience years ago when, I believe it was when it was shortly after 9/11. And I remember feeling, and we were going into war after that. And I remember like feeling my cells hurt in my body. Like I literally thought that my cells hurt. This is not good. We're not going in and getting out. This is going to be a long time. And I felt so sad about it. And I didn't have a better answer to what you do when that happens on your grounds. I mean, we know all the countries are dealing with, you know, these kind of things. And it's very sad that the world has gotten to this place. But I said, in that moment, you know, I believe in a source of God and energy. I don't know, people call it whatever they want. But I believe it's an intelligence beyond our human potential. And we have the ability to reach that intelligence, by the way. I do really believe that. And it is sacred, but it's powerful. And so I remember just kind of having that quiet thought, meditative moment, as I call it, and saying, God, you know, why are we here again? Why are we here? Why are we back in war? That there's no way this is a good thing as a species. Why are we here again? And that's what I said. I said those words. I always tell people, really trust this beautiful higher intelligence and consciousness that you have with yourself. Trust it. I teach it, obviously. And I've learned to trust it my whole life. So that's why I trust it so much, is I've devoted emotion to this, and it made me understand myself and death and everything. So anyways, the next day, 24 hours later, which is not uncommon when you put out a thought or an intention of something to manifest, I was just washing my dishes and not thinking about that thought at all. I was just gazing out the window and washing my dishes, and I got this emotional feeling that I get, and this kind of gold haze that'll kind of go by my eyes a little bit. It's kind of like a daze of a golden haze. That's the way to explain it. And it happens very spontaneously. I can't say make that happen. You know, it just was there. And then I heard this voice say, you have evolved as a species technically, but not spiritually. You are now in the consequence of that. And I just froze, and I could feel the emotion of this voice. And I went, oh my God, my question yesterday, why are we here again? Why are we having to go back to war? Why is there terrorism? Why do people want to do these things? And that answer was so strong and so clear to me that I knew it was the answer to my question, that I never really knew when I put it out I'd really get an answer, to be honest with you. Then I, in all my honesty to the universe, I said, well, I get it, but it doesn't make me feel any better. And I, you know, kind of said that. I felt very sad still. And then I heard that is what Earth is for. And then, oh my God, you have evolved as a species technically, but not spiritually. You are now in the consequence of it. Then when I said that, other thought that I was still, well, I just got to say, I still feel quite sad. It didn't make me feel any better. And I heard back, this is not a punishment. This is what Earth is for. You know, I can tell you, I've never, ever, ever asked why since about anything that happens that we see in horrible news and social media. I don't ask why. It's energetic. It's consciousness. It's evolution. It's the non-evolving in the spiritual. And the spiritual is obviously where I really, you know, where I approach. But spirit holds, if you understand what spirit is, your spirit holds your highest performance of intelligence, of intuition. And I should probably switch the order. Your intuition is there. Your intelligence is there. Your compassion is there. Your oneness is there. Your connection to eternal life is there. Whatever your faith is, it has nothing to do with it. This is science. This is vibration. This is energy. So, and the higher intelligence would be, you know, basically, I think what that grandfather said, things that you put out there, you know, with the experiences of higher intelligence. And it's pretty interesting to think that if we can put out a thought and receive some, I couldn't have thought those words up myself. You know what I mean? I know that. And it was emotional to receive it. And I was also washing dishes, which many people will say in the shower or in water. And when you meditate, water around you, the sound of water, the feeling of water, it's a conduit. You know, water's a conduit. Frequent, you know, so you become much more receptive. And it's a time when people, I never really thought of that. Somebody else actually pointed that out to me because I was explaining how when I was washing my hands, the other things like that have happened. And they said, well, when you're touching water, you're already sensitive, but you know, then you're in touching water and that is able to come that clearly for you. I said, yeah. And I knew. And that brought me a sense of peace. You know, to hear it's not a punishment, it is a consequence. That's what Earth is for. I wouldn't say that as a species, we were meant to get this low in frequency and, you know, behavior that I think the species has evolved in. And that is basically, well, there's a few reasons we've gotten to that point. But it's, you know, when you're in a certain frequency as a being, you're going to express in that frequency. And if we're in very low frequency, then we're expressing in fear, anger. There's so many emotions, grief, you know, which is why most people come to me. So most people come to me in grief. It's a low frequency in the connection to spirit, which is the eternity or eternal life or the light or the other side. They're pure consciousness in the higher and the, if not the highest frequency that they can be in as a being. And there's a lot of different intelligences in that. For sure there is, no doubt. And then, so let me tell you the evolution story, because I thought this was amazing to me. So it was in the early 90s, and I had gone to study basically spirituality, meditation, and my own healing for my own self. My parents had both crossed in a 3-year window. My mom was killed tragically. So you wake up one day, and it's gone. And actually, that night of her passing, I had a dream. That I was seeing all these people running, and there were gray walls. I remember the gray walls. And this was like 28 years ago now, 27 years ago. Over an intercom system, I heard her name and that she was dead. And in my dream, I started screaming and crying and freaking out. But then I woke up and I could tell I was like almost hyperventilating and tears were coming down my face. And I looked at the clock and it was 3:15 a.m. And so I woke up and went, how kind of dream is that? You know, and that was awful. And I fell back to sleep, oddly enough. So I woke up early in the morning because I had my little nephew and I was bringing him to pre-K. And it was early in the morning, 6:45, 7 o'clock. And I'm driving to the school and I turn on the car radio and it's on the news that the Amtrak train had crashed in the middle of the night and that they were just getting to the scene because they had to like plow roads. And I went, what? And I knew my mom was traveling on a train from Texas back to Florida. And so I knew, I said, oh my God, my dream. And I just turned off the radio because my nephew knew grandma was on a train and I didn't want him to get that, hear that. So I dropped him off. Anyways, I was driving to the train station to see what I was supposed to do because I knew my mother was traveling that way. And I heard her voice in the car. It was like everything went quiet. It was like death, dead silence. It was the oddest silence. And I don't even know who was driving the car, to be honest with you, for the few seconds I heard it. And she said, you know, Beth, I'm okay. I'm happy. I just felt like I plopped in my seat and my car started moving again or something. It was the strangest feeling. But I knew when I heard her voice that I knew she was gone. We didn't really get technically told till 12 hours later by the whole commotion that goes on with that kind of passing. But we knew. So anyways, that brought me to a place to study and understand, you know, life and death and everything. And I was just mad at the world, mad at the universe, mad at God. I was mad. And at this point, I was 32 years old. And interesting enough, I always lived my life like I was going to die at 32. I always thought I was going to. I just kind of had this little place in my mind that I'm not going to live past 32. And my mother died when I was 32. So again, part of the energetic blueprint that we come here with, but a detail that we could never walk around knowing. You know, what would we do with that information? You know, I thought it was going to be me and tucked it away in its place. And then that happened. So I go study this at this place. It's called Delphi. It's actually in the mountains in Georgia. Beautiful. And I didn't really know what I was getting into, but I knew they did meditation and stuff. So I went and we would do meditations like all day long. It was an amazing experience. And especially for someone who used to say she couldn't meditate, because I was that person. I can't meditate. I can't stop thinking. And this, for the first meditation there, I was already into, I got it. It's energy when you're brought to places like that. And so anyways, I wanted to get to the point I was trying to get at. So we walk in to our early morning meditation one day and they said, well, today we're going to listen to the frequency of the color purple. So we're just going to lay in a circle. Everybody just, and I'm like, oh, thinking good, because I was tired that morning. And I'm like, this will be easy. You know, we would do meditation and then we would share and then we would, you know, learn about what the meditation was really about before we did it, because that way you're not planting the intellectual seed. You're experiencing it intuitively and energetically. And then the logical understanding comes into play. So it's pretty cool. And so they start playing the color frequency of purple through the sound system. As that's playing, you know, you do your breathing like you do when you learn meditation. You just do simple breathing. And during that meditation, all of a sudden, I felt I was definitely going into a deep state. And I literally saw like this monkey. And then the very end, I saw, you know, monkey turned to man. I saw the face of Jesus. And then I saw what I just thought looked like an alien. And I'm laying there in the meditation and I'm like, is that evolution? And then I saw it again, but it slowed down. So as it slowed down, I knew what I saw at the end. So now in my traditional upbringing of being Catholic and, but yet always feeling more Buddhist, I was all mixed up in my spiritual belief system. Well, it was more of a religious belief system then. Now I know it's spirit. But so now I'm like, well, who's the guy after Jesus? That like confused me. So, and I'm just having this moment in my head, you know, and all of a sudden it happens again and it's slow. And I saw the theory, you know, whatever they call that, the theory. I can't even remember the name, who it is there. Darwin. Is it Darwin? It's bad. I don't know. But, and right at the end, and when I see Jesus, then I see what I called a very alien looking being. It was crystal and the head had an interesting kind of shape. Like it wasn't hooded, but it had it. I just don't even know how to, almost like a little bit of like an angle to the top, but I could see it like a hologram. And that stood out like a hologram, but it was after Jesus. So I'm laying there feeling quite emotional because I was a person that walked around saying, well, look, I don't care about evolution is evolution. I'm not really too worried about what I came from. You know, I didn't really put much energy into that. It was like, okay, was I this? Was I that? Was I an organism? Was I dropped down? It just didn't ever really cross my mind to have to understand that theory because it confused me more than anything. And kid you not, now I go to the teacher and I say to her, what was that? And she goes, well, Beth, that's clearly evolution. And you went through it three times. That's pretty interesting. I go, well, who's after Jesus? Shouldn't he be like the pinnacle? Or is that my upbringing? She goes, well, you know, there is higher intelligence out there. And I said, yeah, I guess I did believe in that. But I didn't really put it to this. So that was cool. So now I'm thinking, what a cool experience I just had. So I go and we eat breakfast after that because it was our early morning meditation. And then after breakfast, we have a class. So we go into the room where we're going to talk. It's like a big A-frame. You're in a big living room. That's the classroom. And I'm sitting there. And all of a sudden, the teacher goes, okay, you guys, so today we're going to talk a little bit about evolution. I fall off my chair. I looked at her and my eyes bugged out of my head. And I got very, like, emotional because I knew what I just, and she looked at me and like the teachers would always share if a student had an experience, you know, that maybe should be told. So she already knew. And she looked at me and she goes, I got your attention. I go, you know what? I can tell you something about this. If I had walked into this classroom without that experience that just happened, I probably would have went, oh, well, you know, but I listened, you know, now I was like full on. So it was quite an interesting thing to see this what to me represented this intelligence beyond what we know as even the beginning of evolution into the evolution of man. And then this consciousness, this beautiful, and it's pure intelligence. That's the only way to explain what I saw in that experience and the emotion that I felt going through it, you know. It's like that's something about intuitive experiences. They're very emotional, not in a bad way, in a good way. The emotion you can't make somebody have. And that level of intelligence is so pure and so beyond what we know as a physical being. But yet we have an access to it that is so amazing. And that's the portal. It's perception. It's raising our frequency up so we align to a higher place. And it's all connected. And that's what it feels like, a pure, pure place. And, you know, when you meditate and you meet, you know, I always say when I teach meditation, I don't teach you, don't try to get anywhere. Just go in and go into the most divine or higher frequency space, whatever word you're more comfortable with, that you can go to is your heart chakra, your heart center energy. And that opens the portals to the most purest intelligence and, you know, allows it you to be in a place where you can download it. You know, I say when I'm channeling, it's like a divine download. You know, it's a divine is a high frequency word like love. It's not a religious word. It's not, you know, it really isn't. It's a high frequency vibrational word of, you know, the divine is just beyond what we are as a human. You know, but yet we come from that source. And if we want to be a part of it, we have to have an intention to desire or will that. And then it's there for us. That's the way I explain it.
I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing your experience. It certainly was interesting.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me on and on all that you're doing and sharing and educating and from a higher place. And I'm sure that the higher intelligence appreciate it because, you know, they can't, how can we know about this if like you were sharing with me, your curiosity as a child, you know what I mean? I mean, that's where it all began. You were curious about something that was unseen in the physical eye, but you could feel something and it was passionate, you know, or you wouldn't have done what you did and evolved to where you've evolved with this.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, for me, it was, because I've always looked as there being two worlds. There's the world we live in, and then there's another world which is on top of this world. And so anything which was mythical, unexplained, I loved the idea of it, of love being something else, you know, if that makes sense.
beautiful thing to feel. And it's just like when people come for, you know, to know your loved ones are still existing somewhere that is so beautiful or so pure. And they're learning, because even our intelligence, the intelligence there surpasses sometimes what some people ever reach. You know what I mean? Down here. So, and not all, some reach it. And there's still even more after that. So it's kind of, however we're going to get there to understand there's something more or something bigger or more pure, or more divine, more intelligent, more, we have to believe that we come from that and we can attain that to a degree, I think. And then when we get there, we're, you know, we're in that frequency of light and energy. And then, but they don't want us to wait till we get there to make sense of it. And that's what I think this is about, and what I experience for myself and for others, what you experience, and, you know, people who come together and want to just share. And, you know, it's something that comes from our heart and our soul, you know?
I think it's important as well. I think it's very important. I get an awful lot of emails from people which says, here, you know, this happened to me. It doesn't make no sense. And I don't think it's that interesting. And I say, no, it is interesting, because it's this experience is unique to yourself.
Exactly. And, well, you know, sharing and learning, and that's what we're doing, and that's what Earth is for, right?
Well, that's all we got time for today. I just wanted to say a big thank you to everyone that has listened and supported the show in the past year. I wish you all a very happy new year, and I will be back next Monday. Take care, everyone.
Once before, it was many years ago. ago before this war, and I gave you your name. It's what I've gone so many miles to explain. You're the sun I never got to hold, and your name is Leopold. And at least before you killed me, you were told. Now I die at your side, and behold my only son as he cries. Your mother still waits for you. Please tell her that you killed me when this is through. She dreamed this most every night, and you can go and tell her that she was right. We both sat on her horse late at night. She always said it'd be you. Who would run me through and take my life? On a day I met my son and lost my wife. But that is why I came. Say hello, shake your hand, and tell you your name. Your name is Leopold. Leopold. Now, my son, take this land. Tell your mother I succeeded in my plan. I met my only son, and I gave to him my land and all my guns. You are leaving.